So we are on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the top. The Gemara says, Tanya Amar Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Gemara is quoting a Braisa, the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai. We said, Matshuva Heshivso Basko La Oso Rasha. Bisha Sha Amar Aale Abama Se Av Adamele Elyon. So, who's Osa Rasha? Look at Rashi, second line. And the line, of Osa Rasha, Nebuchadnezzar. So, what did the Ribbono Shalom, right? Why did this voice, heavenly voice, respond to Nebuchadnezzar when he made the claim, in Yeshayahu that I'm going to go, right? I'm going to go up into the, thickness of the cloud. I'm going to make myself similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So he says, I'm gonna ascend and I'm gonna attack God. So the question is, what was the response of the Baskol when Nebuchadnezzar claimed that he would go up to Shemayim basically and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Yatzisa Baskol, so Baskol came out of Amrilo and it said to him, Rasha ben Rasha, wicked person, the son of a wicked person, ben beno shal Nimrod, who's the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha, Shehimrid Kola Olam Kulo Alav B'machuso, that rebelled, the entire world rebelled against him because he was king. So it doesn't mean, that grammar seems strange, right? It sounds like it means that the entire world rebelled against Nimrod during his reign. But that's not what happened. It's a euphemism. That's the entire world rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu during his reign, meaning during Nimrod's reign, the entire world rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning because Nimrod was around during the time of the Migdal Bavel. So so is Nebuchadnezzar actually the great grandson of Nimrod? I don't know, but the point being, he is certainly in a moral sense the great grandson of Nimrod. Right? Another person who said that the people who were at the Migdal Bavel said, "Let's go up to Shemayim." Right, to rebel against Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very, very similar concept that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do. That's the reason why the Gemara refers to him as Rasha ben Rasha ben Beno shal Nimrod HaRasha. Fine, but the bottom line is, this is what you want to do. Kamish Nosav shal Adam. So let's make a cheshbon. Let's figure out if your idea of going up and attacking Hashem, if that's really going to work for you. You're going to ever reach him. Because how long does a person live? Shivim shana, a person lives 70 years. Shanaim ayir mei shenosa, shenosena behem shivim shana, bim bigvura shemonim shana, 70 years, 80 years, something like that. Some point out that Moshe Rabbeinu starts his job as a leader of Am Yisrael when he's 80 years old. Right, so he could have said, I'm retired. And instead, he does his life's work after most people have already finished their life's work. But anyways, Valomina Aretz Ad Rakia Mahalich Chamesh Me'o Shana. Oh, and why are we reading this Gemara? Why is this Gemara quoted here? Because we're now going to talk about the different levels of Rakia. We've been speaking already with different levels of Shemayim. So we're going to, there's another idea that has to do with the different levels of Shemayim. So he says, a human being lives about 70 to 80 years. Okay? How far is it from the Aretz up to Rakia? Mahalich Chamesh Me'o Shana. It takes about 500 years to walk, to get from the Aretz all the way to the Rakia. If the Ovo of Shirakia and the thickness of Rakia, Mahali Chamesh Me'oshana, is another 500 years. And we would call this whatever they call it in science, right? Like light years, whatever it is, like how long it takes to get from one place to the other in space, right? So that you certain number of, the distance is very, very far. Fine. And between each of the seven levels of Shemayim, each one is 500 years, quote, long, right? It would take 500 years to get between each of those levels, and those levels are each, there are seven of those levels, right? Lemalamehan, in above those seven levels, Chayos HaKodesh, there are Chayos HaKodesh, this certain type of angelic being. And what about them? Ragle HaChayos Keneged Kula. The legs of, it really means even the feet, of the Chayos HaKodesh is the same length as Keneged Kulam, as all of the previous lengths we just mentioned. So the seven levels of Rakia, which are each 500 500 years long, in a certain sense. So the feet of the Chayos HaKodesh is whatever, 3,500 years long to even scale them. Fine. Karsulay HaChayos, the ankles of the Chayos, Kanegakulan, it's the same. Also, equally long. Another 3,500 years. Shokei HaChayos, the lower leg of the Chayos, Kanegakulan, also the same distance. Rechuvei HaChayos, the upper leg of the Chayos, Kenega Kulon, Yarche Achayos, the thighs of the Chayos, Kenega Kulon, Gufe Achayos, Kenega Kulon. Right, their body is again the same distance. Tzavari Achayos, the neck of the Chayos, also Kenega Kulon. Rashi Achayos, Kenega Kulon. Karne Achayos, and not just their head, not just their necks, but even their horns. Right, Kenega Kulon. So that's just to scale through the Chayos, HaKodesh, is gonna take you as long as it takes you to go through all the seven rakiyas, but even more than that. Okay. Lamal mehen, and then what's next? Kisei HaKavod. Then is the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ragle Kisei HaKavod, Kenega Kulam. The legs of the Kisei HaKavod, again, are the length of all these things combined. Sorry. Ragle Kisei HaKavod. Kulan, Kisei HaKavod, Kenega Kulan, the chair itself is also the same, again, longer than the entire measurement until now. Melech Kel Chai V'Kayim, Ram V'Nisan Shov Chen Aleihem, and then the Ribono Shalom sits on that throne above all of these things. V'Ata Amarta Ale Al B'Maseh Av Adam Melech Elyon. Right, you say you're going to scale the Shemayim and get to the Ribono Shalom, you're going to fight with Hashem. It's going to take you. It's basically impossible. Right? There's no. It's basically snatchach. You can't do it. It's ridiculous. Right? There's no way you'd even. You can't even get there. You're a human being. You can't get that high, because you can only move so fast, and you only have so many years in your life. So even if, in theory, you could even make the journey, you wouldn't survive it. You would die before you'd ever even reach it. Ah. So what's gonna happen? Instead, says the Paschal, El Sha'ol Turad Al Yarkase Bor. You're not going to go up to Shemayim and get the Ribono Shel Olam. You're going to go down into the depths of, you know, Gehenim. That's where you're going to end up. You're not going to end up by the Ribono Shel Olam. Which I just found interesting. I guess maybe it's after I was in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago and learned about how there's an IMAX there at the Air and Space Museum, how they're planning to go to Mars, to get human beings to Mars. So the amount of time it takes them to take even a human being with all their jet propulsion and all that stuff to get there is like, I don't know how long, 6 months, a year, like just in space, with going hundreds of thousands, you know, thousands of miles an hour to get to these places deep in space. It just made me, I was like thinking about it as I was thinking about this, like the idea that the Ribono Shel Olam is a certain number of years away, that the Chazal were talking about it already then, right? That Hashem is, that the Rakia, whatever, is certain, you know, hundreds of years away. It's a fascinating concept, being what we know about like deep space. I'm not saying that the Shemayim is like deep space, but it just is interesting. Like if you want to even consider this, the mashal seemed very, very, very interesting to me. Okay, but the bottom line is that was again, and we brought this whole conversation because again, we just had a conversation about how many rakiyas they are, etc. So now we know how far the distance is from one to the other. Fine. Okay. Now we're back to the conversation that we were having before, which was that you're not supposed to study the Ma'aser Merkava, or you're not supposed to teach it to only one person. So it says the Gemara as follows. Tani Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya says as follows. Of a Mosrin Lo Rashi Prakim. So you can't teach a Yachid. A Rebbe can't teach one student the details of Ma'aser Merkava, why we said before, because it's supposed to just be a person who is, if you're so sophisticated and so smart, that you could understand concepts on your own, so then great. But otherwise, I'm not gonna. You don't have a Rebbe who's gonna teach you these things. However, says Rabbi Chiya, you can teach them. The Rashi Prakim literally means the heads, of the headings of the chapters, meaning the basic general concepts. Right? We use the phrase Rashi Prakim to mean, you know, give me the Rashi Prakim, give me the general concepts. So meaning you can give them the headings that you're allowed to do. So I'm Rabbi Zera, ain most in Rashi Prakim. El Avbezdin. So Rabbi Zera says, Even the Rashi Prakim, you can only give to an Abezin. It's like one of the greatest Tamil Chachamim in every generation. Right? Ulachomi Shalibo Doig Bekirbo. And to somebody, or to somebody whose, you know, heart is, you know, is worried inside, but meaning someone who has a sophistication, appreciation to really understand. Someone who's like determined to really understand it. Ikada Amre, some say no, but who Shalibo Doig Bekirbo? Meaning the first way to read it is that maybe it's someone who is an Abezdin or somebody who is very, very, you know, adamant and very, really, really, you know, really wants to do this. The second way to read it is that no, it's, you have to have both. You have to be somebody who is an Abezdin and somebody only if they're a person who is Doig, you know, is Libo Doig Bekirbo, that they really have this desire. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi in the fourth skinny line says, into the fifth, Shalibo Doeg, Ve'eno Mekel Es Rosha, right? It's a person who's very, very level-headed. Not a person who, you know, is, you know, joking around and doesn't take life seriously. A person who's very, very serious. Okay. So, Amar Rebbe Ami, Ein Mosin Sisrei Torah, Elol Misha Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim. You cannot give over the secrets of Torah unless the person you're giving it to has these five attributes. Sar Chamishim, a general, literally, of groups of 50, to see what that means exactly. Minesu Panim, which typically means there's somebody who is respected by other people. People give respect to their face. V'yoetz, they're an advisor to people. V'chacham Harashim, and they're a person who is a teacher of other very wise people. And not just that they're not just chacham, they're not just smart on themselves, and not just a teacher to other people, but they're a chacham to other chachamim, basically. They're a person who's so smart that they teach the smartest people. V'navon lachash, and they're a person who can understand things that are, right, lachash usually says like a whisper, but here it means like things that are mysterious. Right? They're a person who understands things that are mysterious. So someone who has all these five qualities, this is the person who can learn, not all regular Torah, but can learn Sisrei Torah. These kind of, you know, mysterious, quiet, fundamentals of Torah that not everybody is able to learn. Rashi says Sisrei Torah, Kigon Ma'aseh Merkava, Vaseifa Yetzirah, U'Ma'aseh Breishis, V'Hibraisa. Right. So these different things, some of them we mentioned already, Ma'aseh Merkava, where the Ribbono Shel Olam sits, Ma'aseh Breishis, right, the creation of the world, and Seifa Yetzirah. Also, the one of these like Kabbalistic type of svarim. Some say that Seifa Yetzirah was what the Shvatim learned Seifa Yetzirah, and they created all kinds of things with it. So Seifa Yetzirah has these kind of mysteries of the world also. Okay. Va'amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Moshin Divrei Torah La'ovei Kochavim. Rabbi Ami says, we don't give over not Sisrei Torah, but any Divrei Torah to those who worship idols. Shenamar, Lo Asa Achin L'chol Goyim Mishpatim Ba'yidei Um. We don't do so for all nations, and our laws, they should not know. Meaning that you don't, this is, you know, another formulation of the concept in general of that there are restrictions on what it is that we're allowed to teach to someone who's not Jewish. So Amalei Rav Yochanan L'Rebbe Elazar. So Rav Yochanan said to Rav Elazar, Ta agmarcha b'maisim rekava. So Rav Yochanan invited Rav Elazar. He said, come, I'll teach you maisim rekava. I'm inviting you for a charusa. We'll learn it together. I think you're worthy. So Amalei Lokashai. He says, I'm not old enough. I'm not sophisticated enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not ready for this. So Kikash, but by the time he got old enough, Nach Navshed Rav Yochanan. At that point, Rav Yochanan already passed away. So he finally felt ready, and Rav Yochanan had passed away. So Amalei Rav Asi, Tav Egemaracha Meisim Merkava. So Rav Asi said to him, okay, so Yochanan's gone, but you're at the right age now. So come, and I'll teach it to you. So Amalei Izakai Gemirsa Rav Yochanan Rabbacha. He said, if I would have been Zocha, I would have been ready already when Rav Yochanan was still alive. The fact that I wasn't ready, Rav Yochanan wanted to teach me, I wasn't ready. And then when I was ready, he finally passed away. It's a simon, he says, that I'm not supposed to learn these things. And he passed. He said no. If Yosef have a gamir maisa merkava, Yosef was learning or teaching. He was learning maisa merkava. Sabe de Pumbedisa havutana maisa brachis. And the elders of Pumbedisa, the yeshiva in Pumbedisa, so they were learning maisa brachis. So Amr Leis, they said to him, Ligmir lan mar maisa merkava. So they said to him, can you teach us maisa merkava? So Amr Lehu, Agmarun li maisa brachis. Says, first you teach me maisa brachis. You taught me that first. So Basud de Agmarun, so they taught him, after they taught him, Amrulay, Ligmar, Maisa Merkava. Okay, we had a deal. Now you teach us Maisa Merkava. So Amalahu, Tanina Bahu, Divash Vechalav, Tachas Lishonech, Lishonech. Divarim Hamisukin, Midvash Vechalav, Yehu Tachas Lishonech. So that he says, what the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, that you should have, you know, honey and milk under your tongue, things that are sweet, like honey and milk. Those are the things you should keep on your tongue. Meaning, let's stick with the things that work out well for you. And it sounds like you know Maaser Bereishis well. Maaser Merkava is going to be too complicated. It's going to sour things. And therefore, he kind of withdrew and said, actually, I realize it's not a good idea. So someone said, what, did he trick them? Or he wanted, okay, I promise you, I'll teach you Maaser Merkava, teach you Maaser Bereishis. He taught him Maaser Bereishis. I'm just kidding. And he pulled back. He said, no, it must be that he realized after they taught him, maybe after having a charusa with them, he realized that it wasn't appropriate and it wasn't the right group, right people to be teaching Maaser Merkava. What's interesting also is that it was clearly Sabe de Pumadisa, it wasn't one person. So then they asked him together, can you teach us Maaser Merkava? And he said, no. At the very least, I guess maybe the other student he would have split them up and taught them one at a time. But certainly teaching him as a group, he would not have been allowed to do that. One of the line Rabbah Amar Mihacha Kavashim Lavushech Devarim Shehen Kivshono Shalom Yehu Tachas Lavushech. So Rivo learns from here, same concept, that there are things that are, you know, the mysteries of the world, you should keep under your clothing, right? That it's something that shouldn't be revealed, it should be kept hidden, and that's why he said, even though you taught me Maaser Bereishis, I'm not ready to teach you Maaser Merkava, and we'll continue moving on.